Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so this is the time that I want to introduce the entire crew today. John is out for the day. He's out today. He'll come back, and we'll talk about Chaz McCormick tomorrow and golf. Dell is sitting in with me today, and Cam Davis is in right now in the control room. He is a student at University of Houston. You played your football for or with my brother, who was your head coach, right?
Right, at Clear Falls High School, yes, sir.
He said Clear Falls High School.
At Clear Falls, yeah. So let me ask you, so you're an intern here. Now you're on the board today doing some, you're doing some producing. What is, tell people your background, because I think you're going to be around here for a while. So tell people your background.
So I went to Clear Falls High School with Coach.
Just lift your mic up just a little bit.
Yeah. So, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, you're good.
I went to Clear Falls High School, Coach Zierlein, Mike Zierlein, Lance's brother. He was my head coach there. And so I played football there, quarterback, running back, receiver, all types of positions on offense, did everything. Kind of like a Taysom Hill, but, you know.
Very similar, Taysom Hill type.
A little more throwing than Taysom did, but I did that. And then I went to Lamar University for 1 year, played football up there, then transferred to University of Houston, and now I'm here, majoring in communications and broadcast.
So you want to get into this?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So for any Houston Cougar fans from back in the day, you have a connection there too.
Mm-hmm. So my uncle, Danny Davis, number 4, some of y'all might remember that name, and my dad is Mark Davis. He wore number 5. They both played under Bill Yeoman in the Veer offense, the tearaway jerseys and stuff like that. I think my uncle, he played in the Rose Bowl, I'm sure. And my dad, he played against Oklahoma State. I think it was Barry Sanders, if I'm not mistaken. Beat them.
Oh, yeah.
In that
my
game.
Dad was the OC in that game.
Right. Right,
so and then had his OC position taken away because he threw too many passes. Bill Yeoman didn't like
him. Well, there,
like,
there
what
that
the hell
is.
Are we doing? What the hell are we doing throwing the football? Like, we just beat Barry Sanders and like Hartley Dykes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so connections all around from us, you know, here at ESPN.
Yeah, so there it is. So that's Mark is Mark Davis was his is his dad, and that was it's pretty cool. I remember watching Mark play. I don't remember Danny as much. I remember him a little bit. I was young, but. Yeah, good, very good quarterback. And then, of course, I thought your dad had a chance to throw it a little bit more, but Bill Yeoman wasn't quite ready to get away. That three-step drop stuff had him shook. My dad's trying to introduce three-step drop into the Veer, and Bill Yeoman was like, mm-mm. I don't know about this throwing stuff. Only 3 things can happen when you throw the ball, and 2 of them are bad. Like, yeah, but...
But, you know, great things can happen when you throw the ball.
Actually, more things can happen that are good. Do basketball nerds, by the way, like this series? Or, like, what is nerd? You know, because you know what I'm talking about. Basketball
yes,
nerd culture, who also kind of clicks with analytics culture a little bit. It's not necessarily the same. Do they like this series?
I think basketball nerds love that the Bucks made it. Because the Bucks, the numbers about the Bucks the last couple seasons would have had you believe that's a clear finals. A contender, not even just contender. That was a team that should have made the finals just because of the way their numbers played out in the regular season. And variances like they didn't shoot the ball well or the Heat shot the ball really well. Things like that are above the norm. They would say you could point to that and say that's why they didn't make it. So I think the Bucks in particular. And then the Suns, if you're a nerd, you love Chris Paul. I think I don't know if there's any basketball nerd who doesn't love Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And then you have Devin Booker, who was the efficient assassin who never got any run because he was playing for Phoenix. And if you are someone who doesn't believe, like the way we watch sports, you go, you may make the thought that that guy's never going to win. And whether it's because you've just sensed something by watching him with no numbers to back it up, you go, okay, that guy's never going to win. Most people now would say James is never going to be the best player on a winner. Like, people had said that before. Now, in a situation where he's with KD for however long, that's probably going to be the case. He's not going to be
the best player
to win a title. And some people had made that declaration beforehand. Basketball Nerd hates that because that's not about numbers. That's not about what a guy brings to the team. That's more about feel and dumb fan who looks at something and makes an assertion. So I believe
that's so stupid. You can
Devin.
I can't stand all the.
It's also that whole the fourth quarter is more important thing. No, a shot's a shot. All those things that basketball nerd leans into.
But it just pisses me off that we live in a time where you have to. It is just there is no gray area at all. Like, yes, you can make a definitive statement like James Harden will never win a championship as the best player on a team. Because you have seen the games, you have watched, and you have experiences that you can call back in an argument. There's no reason that basketball nerd...
They don't like that.
Yeah.
They don't like that
but
declaration.
But that's also analytics. I mean, what you're talking about is also analytics guy who likes to... They don't like that version, but listen, it can actually be both. Like, I think the numbers are important to eliminate bias, but you can also have a strong feeling based on past events. I mean, that's what analytics are, is... It's a reliance upon past occurrences to create numbers that dictate that eliminate bias, but I don't think that's not bias. That is an emotion based upon past events, and I think it's okay to say fact. James Harden's games have not been as good in elimination games. Period. I've gone down and I've run the numbers. I've gone through the numbers and looked at the differences and the variances from an elimination game to the regular game. I've looked at the differences in his shooting percentage from a regular season to the postseason, the difference in turnover and assist numbers, performance-based numbers. I just why do people have to get so in their feelings about it's got to be one way, the eyeball test, or the other way, the numbers test, when really, I mean, a blending of the two is what is probably needed. And, you know, to your point about like the Bucks, yeah, the numbers say that, and finally the numbers are. I think basketball does lend itself to runs, not just in game, but you can catch a heater in the playoffs. You can get hot and play your best basketball over a stretch. You can also peak a little too early, and we thought the Rockets maybe peaked a little too early in their 65 win season. And we know ultimately we don't talk about that anymore. But I don't know if people remember having that discussion. Like, did the Rockets peak a little too soon?
Yeah, and that's another thing that doesn't probably play well with numbers and analytics, because it's not really based on anything other than a feel, numbers wouldn't particularly back up peaking too soon. So that's why I think the Suns and the Bucks probably fit the profile of two teams that basketball nerd would love, because they're not the typical teams in the finals. The narrative surrounding them aren't about these gigantic superstars and, okay, this team's going to win because they have LeBron. That's not a basketball nerd thing to talk about. It's about, well, when they on catch and shoot and their percentage on above the break threes, things like that you can't talk about in an actual game because you're trying to entertain the masses. This is a serious.
Bull will. Bullard used to do it.
Where's Matt Bullard now?
Used to.
Love Matt. As far as the work he did, I don't know him, but the work he did, I enjoyed. So this is why I think this is a series for those people. It's a series that numbers will be, at least for them, will be something they can look at and go, okay, the Suns are here because of this, 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 and this. It won't be because, well, they have a superstar on their team and superstars win. That's not a story that's going to be talked about. It's not going to be said. It's not going to be that way with the Bucks, despite the fact that they put together a big three of their own. They're not considered a real super because Chris Middleton doesn't have that with him on him. People don't look at him and go, "That's a superstar." Drew Holiday, very good player. People don't look at it that way.
Is anyone a superstar in this series?
No.
Is Giannis?
Yeah, Giannis is the one. But Giannis has his flaws that people pick apart And he's had past failures as well. So he, even if he wins, it'll be a great storyline. But I don't even think people look at Giannis the same way they would look at KD or James.
Well, but he's not from the country LeBron. Either. He didn't come up inside AAU. He has no vibe to him that people latch onto. I think that hurts him a little
bit. Giannis is a superstar on the court, but no one says as long as you have Giannis on your team, you're
two-time MVP, and no one says that. That's true, though.
No one talks about him that way.
And Chris Paul can't be superstar now at this age.
Yeah, I think for basketball, people who just love basketball and not the narrative surrounding basketball, I think it's a series for them. Other people love storylines. Mm-hmm. And the one storyline there is, can Chris Paul finally get it done? Like, making the finals is one thing, and that takes a big kind of, I guess, I don't know other way to describe it, monkey off his back. But winning the finals would be that final piece for anyone who's a big Chris Paul fan to say, see, I told you. Yeah, sure. The things in LA didn't work. The things with the Rockets didn't work out. But he was always this guy. He always could be the guy who could lead his team to a title.
David says the real reason this championship doesn't count for CP3 if he wins it, Jordan's retired, and he's going to put an asterisk on this one. So it has nothing to do with Kawhi being out, with Anthony Davis, with anything with Giannis. He said as long as Jordan's out, you're catching an asterisk. I respect that.
I am a little confused. So no titles count since Jordan started playing, or no titles count ever because Jordan wasn't around? Like, do the Bill Russell
all of them?
Do the Bill Russell's titles count?
Yes.
But Jordan wasn't there. He wasn't born yet.
No, but I think it's AJ after Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah, BJ is okay. AJ,
aren't they always?
BJ is great. Did you want to go ahead and while I get my gavel?
I'm sitting in the seat.
Yeah.
Before Jordan, BJ is great.
Yeah.
Depending on who's... Nah, I can't.
Yeah, you can't. Nah, There's really no way for you to be...
Nah, I can't.
To try to be cute and finesse that, really.
No, because if I say depending on who's...
Yeah, yeah. See, as soon as you say depending on who's...
Nah, it doesn't
work.
You can't. No.
But
you're
Jordan,
right. I would say BJ wasn't always great. It depends on the situation.
Before Jordan.
Yeah.
Basketball before Jordan.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't always great. It just depends on who's around. Like, in some finals, like the 86 finals when the Celtics won, I mean, not great because I don't like the Celtics.
Most people would say Celtics-Lakers pretty – was 86 – well, that was Rockets. But, yeah. So you try to pick a Rockets loss. You try to pick at that. And I put an asterisk on that. Yeah, but I put an asterisk because they got us in trouble by sending a little Jerry Seastein out to fight Ralph Sampson. So to me, I don't count that championship for the Celtics.
That has an asterisk
because Ralph got in a fight.
It's Magic's rookie year when they won the title, one of the great BJs.
Before Jordan.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because
one of the great BJ champions.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you are really.
What?
You are really.
We have set it up.
This is really.
Where before Jordan is what it stands for.
One of the great before Jordans?
Yes. Titles.
Who? You could say titles.
Well, you cut me off.
You're going to Rachel Nichols yourself right out of
No,
this
she
spot.
Talked about someone who no, she shouldn't right. have talked about. That's different.
I just wanted to be able to say Rachel Nichols somebody. I just wanted to verb it, but it just didn't work.
No.
9:15 here on the bench. Really sad story. Over the weekend, young athlete died. We will. Young athlete in 4th of July, and it did not go well. Went really terribly. 9:15, we come back. We'll give you the insight into that. Also, I will tell you about the NIL move that's happening at Miami that could have an enormous impact on the way that maybe other cities start doing things. 9:15 on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
918 here on the bench, and I mentioned some sad news. And you know, the fireworks thing, we've heard about it with obviously Jason Pierre-Paul blew off two of his fingers with what was the firework? Do you remember? An M80, I think?
Yeah, I think it was an M80.
Well, really sad story. NHL goaltender Matisse Kavlenics died from a fireworks accident. He was a 24-year-old goaltender for Columbus Blue Jackets of the NHL, and it involved fireworks at a party. He died from a fireworks mortar blast and chest trauma, according to the official autopsy. The death was ruled accidental after a full autopsy. Early on Monday, Lieutenant Jason Meyer had said that there seemed to be a malfunction that sent the fireworks, there was fireworks that were all set up, and then it went off prematurely. It sent it in a direction of people. Kavlenics and others were in a hot tub, and when they tried to get out, he slipped and fell and hit his head on the concrete. Emergency responders were dispatched for the injury at 10:13 p.m. He was pronounced dead. Now, when I read through all this, one of the things that didn't make a lot of sense to me is they talk about him slipping and falling and hitting his head on the concrete, but then they also talk about a mortar blast in his chest. Yeah. What exactly? I can't piece together what exactly happened.
I think initially the report was from the police that he died because of the injury suffered from trying to escape when he slipped and fell and hit his head. And then the second report, and I don't know if this one is the more correct one and now confirmed, is that he died because the blast hit him in the chest.
Boom. And then maybe that caused him to slip and fall?
Or it caused the death, period. Because
maybe he was on the ground as something separate?
Yeah, that's why it's confusing.
The
two reports, they say it clearly, fireworks were involved, but one report says the fireworks directly resulted in his death, at least that I've seen. And the other one, the first one at least, was he died trying to escape the fireworks. So I'm not sure where they've landed on as far as his actual cause of death. All we know is he was at a party, fireworks went off, and eventually, unfortunately, he passed away.
Yeah, sad story. And just 24 years old. Unbelievable. Another story that happened over the weekend. Now, we talked about this on Friday because the Trevor Bauer stuff had started to come out, and we were speculating about what that would mean for Trevor Bauer. Like, can Major League Baseball let him, you know, can they let him pitch? And
just to clean up the story,
yeah.
Reading another report, the initial autopsy said he died from a percussive injury caused by a powerful blast from the fireworks, which triggered major damage to his heart and lungs. So
it wasn't an in.
So the autopsy suggests that the injury from the fireworks hitting him in the chest did damage to his heart and lungs, and that caused him to die.
Then why did they mention the slip and
because
hit his
maybe
head?
They initially thought that because he did hit his head after, you know, that mortal wound or injury.
Yeah, I just didn't know how it's all tied together, but sad story nonetheless. So we're talking about with Trevor Bauer. He had the sexual assault accusations against him, and it's pretty graphic in a lot of detail. And The Athletic had that piece, and now apparently Major League Baseball is looking into a potential history of this stuff with Trevor Bauer. They're going back, and there was, you know, insiders, I guess there was comments that this might be worse than expected for Major League Baseball, because you're innocent until proven guilty, and this was an accusation. But the idea was, well, what can Major League Baseball do? Like, are you going to keep the guy from pitching? Well, that's exactly what Major League Baseball did, is they expect him to be out through the All-Star break. Before he was going to make his start, Major League Baseball put him on the shelf with a paid administrative leave while they look into the disturbing allegations of sexual assault. According to ESPN, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts told reporters Monday he does not envision Bauer immediately returning to the rotation if his leave ends ahead of the All-Star weekend. ESPN added that MLB can request that Bauer's leave gets extended another 7 days in cooperation with the MLB Players Association. He's denied any wrongdoing per statement released by his attorney, but did not appeal being placed on the leave. So Major League Baseball clearly has a lot of work they have to do to investigate this. And it looks like Bauer is going to be out at least through the All-Star break. Earlier in the day, ESPN's Buster Olney reported Major League Baseball has spoken with the lawyer representing the woman who accused Bauer, but also wants to talk with her directly. The 30-year-old right-hander is under investigation by the Pasadena Police Department and could potentially go on indefinite leave until that investigation ends. Boy, that's a lot. This is going to last a little while, and we're sitting here with the Deshaun Watson thing, but what was strange is it didn't happen in the middle of the season, and Deshaun already said he wanted out of Houston, so there's different layers to this. This is in the middle of a season where you're trying to chase the Giants, who are way better than expected, and you were the prohibitive favorite to win the World Series this year, certainly the prohibitive favorite to win the pennant in the National League, and now you're going to be dealing with this. Certainly to the All-Star break and maybe even beyond.
Did you say that there was speculation that this wasn't the first time he was involved in something?
Speculation that they are going into his background, and that's what they want to go check out. And they want to know exactly what happened here and see if there's any other patterns, because that's the thing. And we saw that with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun put out there, somebody's made this claim. Tony Busby has made this claim on a social media page. Well, then all of a sudden, boop, pop, pop, pop. And if Major League Baseball, and I think a lot of people in sports pay attention to a lot of other things in sports because you're stupid not to. If the Deshaun Watson incident teaches you anything, is that you need to wait for the water to stop dripping from the sink, from the faucet. Wait for the water to quit running before you move forward. And for Major League Baseball, if they move forward with this and then multiple things pop up after this, that's going to be a bad look for them and it's going to be tough for them. So I think right now they're probably in a position of making sure that anything that's going to potentially come out comes out now so they can deal with it all at once.
When you initially said it, my thoughts started to run to the nature of the accusations and the text messaging. I don't know Trevor Bauer's proclivities, obviously. The first I'm hearing them is because of this particular the story. But the physical even the alleged...
Well, he appears to be into things.
Yeah, even the alleged physical nature that was, at least through text, supposed to be acceptable and something the alleged victim was into, would speak to someone who may have engaged it in a type of physical version of sex before. Like, yeah. he wasn't surprised or put off by her suggestions. In fact, seemed to be into it. So if what she said is true and he has gone and he went too far, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe not necessarily that he had done this to this level before, but he had been in other encounters of a physical nature, and maybe those were consensual, maybe they weren't. We'll find out through their digging. But even the initial texts were like I can't speak for everyone. If that happened to me, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm that's not something I'm really looking forward to. But he seemed to be all in, so I don't think it was something that was a new suggestion to him. And we'll see if anything in his past rises to the level of what is being alleged right now.
Well, you know, this is kind of a sticky situation here because Pasadena Police Department Lieutenant Caroline Gordon, who is overseeing the Bauer investigation, told USA Today's Bob Nightingale on Friday that the investigation was not initially expected to take as long as it has. She described the case as bigger than we thought and said it is not nearing a conclusion. We were looking into some things and we thought we were nearing the end. We are not close to the end. The investigation is bigger than we thought, so we have to look a few more places. We wanted to try to uncover as much stuff as we can. Buster Olney went on to say, let me pull this one up, they're looking into a range of inquiries into the Trevor Bauer case, and he goes so far as to say that A range of inquiries. The league has spoken to the reported victim's lawyers and hopes to speak directly to the accuser. Notably, any conversations Bowers had with MLB would be subject to subpoena as part of the Pasadena Police Department's ongoing investigation into the allegations. But MLB investigators are also reported to be delving into his personal history. So that's what I'm. That's what I was telling you about. Now, if this guy is into bondage, BDSM, the rough sex or whatever, and it's consensual between partners, that like that's not illegal. That's not an illegal thing. So it's going to be very interesting if they start digging around and find that he's got this in his background. But then the women they speak with, if that happens, say, no, it was consensual. Well, he's a little rougher than usual or whatever. I wonder how Major League Baseball is going to do this, because now this is certainly her accusations go beyond that. I mean, yes. What her accusations are things that were not consensual.
No.
So that's the difference here.
The if they find things in his past in terms of consensual relationships, then it'll show that he certainly isn't what happened with this woman isn't unique to him, isn't unique in regards to those texts and the lead up to it. Then they're just going to have to determine, along with obviously the Pasadena police, what flipped the switch to it becoming violent and something she didn't consent to, because there are injuries. Now,
I haven't seen them, but there was a police report.
Yeah, that injuries did occur. So I don't know how you look. That's why they're police, and I'm just doing this. How you figure out her words will say one thing, his words will say another, and then you have, or how much will the previous text messages cloud what you think is consensual or not? And I don't know how you get past it if what we were told is true as far as injuries. How you go, well, that's something they agreed to, particularly when she's saying, no, I didn't agree to this, and look at me. Of course I wouldn't agree to this. I don't know.
Man, it's going to be that's a really, really interesting one, because, you know, the more I think about it, I think it started with the Me Too movement, where people were coming out of the woodworks who had been holding on to stuff for years and years because, you know, fearful of coming out with it. And then we saw the Deshaun Watson thing, and a bunch of people came forward over time. I really believe that this is what Major League Baseball is trying to avoid, all that stuff, where they simply can't act on it, but they're in season now. One is a football player out of season. One was Harvey Weinstein. It's not a season. You know, you make movies, whatever the case may be. This is a guy who's in a season. You got a team paying him and a team counting on him, but you can't rush. You can't rush to get him back when you know that some more stuff could pop up. You got to do all the work you can possibly do. And even then, even if you're done, even if it's 3 weeks from now and you're done and somebody else comes forward with something, then Major League, I don't know what they, I mean, they have to reopen. I guess they would let him keep playing while they investigate at that point, because they're going to have him miss a minimum of two starts.
Maybe
three.
Speaking of, it happened. So if the Kobe Bryant situation happened in 2021, does he get to play while that case is moving forward? Or do you think things have changed so much from then that if a similar situation happened with him, he, or any star of his magnitude, he doesn't play through an NBA season while that case is being decided?
Because
we've had the NFL and they're out of season and they're dealing with Deshaun. Baseball's dealing with Trevor Bauer. Now, would the NBA have allowed a player to play through that type of a case now, like they did back then?
Well, I mean, you hate to say it, but I think the magnitude of the game would matter to them. The magnitude. Right now, you're in, like, Kobe, the worst case scenario for baseball, the nightmare scenario is this happens in the playoffs.
Yes. So this, Kobe played through a regular season. Like, remember, the incident
happened. Did he miss? No, because it was the offseason. He went to court.
Yes. I think, did he miss time? We know he had to, like, he was taking flights back to games and stuff. I don't know if he ever actually missed a game. But do you think the NBA would allow a player to play through that now? Particularly when he has to be in court make an appearance during the season.
The era that we're in, would the NBA, and this is just conjecture, obviously. Yes. I mean, I feel like they would.
So every day.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in that, but I feel like And that's probably bad for the NBA. That's probably bad on them. If NFL would shut you down and if baseball would shut you down, but NBA, and that's just me guessing, obviously, but if the NBA would let you play, then that would be pretty damning for the NBA. Like, does what a woman saying that matters is potential sexual assault? I'm trying to recall. Now, the NBA shut down Daniel House, but that wasn't about sexual assault. That was about him breaking protocol.
COVID violation.
At a very serious time where they were trying to keep the bubble alive and their season alive. I don't know. Do you have a thought on that? I mean, I don't know that I can give the right answer.
The optics of him flying in from Denver to a game in L.A. on the same day, is that something?
It was not good.
Is that something they could fade now? I don't think so.
Maybe the pressure would be too hot for the NBA to do that. Because they did do it at that time.
They did it. Yeah, he had to make appearances, but he still played.
You know, we've already dealt with this with Deshaun. Like, how long is this going to... This is now about how long the lawsuits go on. There's nothing criminal that we know of pending. But there is something criminal pending with Trevor Bauer. How long are they going to keep Bauer out? If this case... Like, is Major League Baseball going to say, as long as this case is pending, we don't want to let you pitch? I think at some point Major League Baseball inside, because they know that these cases can go on a while, I think maybe they want to see, are charges going to be brought forth? If they are, then he's going to be suspended indefinitely or on the administrative leave indefinitely. How long, what's the time frame look like on that? That's one of the top pitchers for one of the top teams.
New territory, really. Yeah. So I don't know that I have an answer for how long that could take. Do they just say as long as we need to keep him out, we'll keep him out till we satisfy until we feel satisfied with our investigation? He's not going to pitch.
Man, well,
and I don't think is the MLBPA going to say no, that's unfair. And with this, because he's still getting paid. By the way,
but he's still getting paid, which is why the Player Association will not advocate as strongly, because that's a bad look.
Yeah.
If you advocate too strongly. Now, if you weren't getting paid, that'd be one thing, but that's certainly not the case here. 9:35 here on the bench.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dang, has Dell talked about that ass whooping that Eltry put on his motherland for nothing?
What?
I don't know what that means. I know the women's the women's team beat Eltry for nothing.
Yeah, did the men's team for Mexico beat Nigeria or something?
That must be what he means.
No, I didn't.
Doesn't look like you really care that much about that.
I don't know I'm just guessing because it can't be the Mexican women's team because they got their ass kicked again.
So I heard this from a pretty reliable source. I have heard that Jim Crane has privately acknowledged to friends that he'd be willing to go to $30 million with Carlos. But he ain't never doing a 10-year deal.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're in the ball game.
But he is not doing a 10-year deal.
And the length was another problem for Carlos. The fact they're only giving him what he considered a short-term deal.
Do you think that... I question whether or not Trevor Bauer, whether or not Gerrit Cole is happy right now. He just got booed off the mound when he was leaving. He was knocked out of the game. He sucked ever since the Spider Tech thing. I wonder how happy he's going to be in New York with the amount of money he's making. I'm sure Lindor's happy with the money he makes. And he's playing better now. Tatis is playing great, and he got a huge contract. Here's my problem. I think Carlos, the grass is not always greener. George Springer is probably finding that out right now. And of course, he's also been beset by injury, so it's not really his fault. I think that Carlos likes playing in Houston from everything we've heard. His wife likes it here. They're having a baby here. This is his home, you know, his hometown. Well, it's not hometown, but, you know, this is his homegrown team and organization. If you're Carlos and Jim Crane offers you $217 million over 7 years. Let's go 31. $217 million over 7 years, $31 million a year. But it doesn't hit that $300 million mark. At this point, it's more vanity than anything, right?
Yes. You want to be
it's a number.
You want Lindor numbers.
You want the number that Tatis and Lindor, two guys at your position, who are both actually about the same. Well, they're younger. I don't know. I got to check on all the ages. It doesn't, regardless. It's about that number. You want that number, the 300 number. Are you willing to take a chance at getting paid? So instead of going to all the money you'll ever be able to spend, in fact, money you can't possibly spend, and generational wealth, to another team with generational wealth where you don't know the background and there's a new set of pressures. Like that's that can bolster a guy's career, but it can also be something that is deflating. Is there a chance that the Carlos Correa is going to pass up on a per year number just because that long-term number is just too enticing? You know, will another team pay another shortstop $300 million?
How old is Carlos now?
Carlos, I want to say he's 26.
So Carlos Correa is looking for a contract where he'll never sign another deal, right? Because if you're asking for a decade.
Yeah, Carlos is 26. Birthday's in September.
So by the time he would sign a deal, he'd be 27.
Well, a 10-year deal would mean he would never sign another contract.
Yeah, that's what he's looking for. He wants a deal at that flat rate, I guess, of $30 million or whatever for the next 10 years where he doesn't sign another deal. If it's a 7-year deal, he's done at 34, he's got another deal on the table, probably not at worth $30 million a year unless he's one of those dudes who's really great at 34. And if the Astros flat out say, hey, we'll give you 6 or 7 at 30, but we're not going beyond that because
their original was 6 at 120.
So if they go
20 per.
So if they say, hey, you have showed up, you showed up in the playoffs in 20, you showed up again for an entire season, and you show up again in 2021 playoffs, you've proven your value to us, but we're an organization who does, and our owner doesn't believe in giving decade long deals. So you're getting, maybe we'll go up to 7 for 30. Does getting the decade long, is that really what you're looking for when you can say you're going to be an Astro till 34 and they're giving you $30 million per year? Do you need the extra 3?
In his heart, probably not. But that's where ego can kick in. If the ego kicks in and says, man, you got these other guys that you're better than, getting more money than you, total. I mean, because here's the thing. They both got, what, $340 and $341 million? I just, one of them was by a home organization who was desperate to hang on to their superstar. And then it created a marketplace that shot way up for Lindor. Well, now that two guys have done it, I don't see how you can go back on that. But if you're Carlos, man, $30 million a year, so yeah, you don't get that $100 million, and that's a lot of money. It's not my money, but that doesn't – the extra $100 million that you may never even get to, that will be your grandchildren might be getting to that, what if you're going to be unhappy?
Well, how do baseball players think? Do they think that the last couple years of the deal to make up for all the years they spent being underpaid? So they say, look, yeah, maybe I'm not worth it. Even they may not even think that. But, hey, I'm not worth it. But how many years of cheap labor did you get out of me? So you're making it up on the back end where I'm not producing at the level that is worth $30
million? But 10 years, like a 10-year deal, you give out too many of those and you're going to get burned a ton.
Well, ask the teams who've done it. Do they all not regret it? Or, excuse me, do they all regret it? They probably do. No team comes out ahead.
It's not a smart business model. I don't want the Astros getting in that business. I think it's a dumb business model because all it does is raise the expectations for every other player. Then Yordan's going to want, 10 and 25.
You're setting a precedent.
It's you can pay your very best players, but you can't pay stupid numbers. You have to be value oriented But at the same time, I talked about it last time John was out. There's a new way of doing things in baseball, and I'm not sure the Astros are going to get on board with it. I'm not sure it's a smart way to do it, but I definitely don't think the Astros are going to be on board with it.
Do you think the last 3 years of the deal that Carlos is looking for will help him pay for a patio?
I think it will. I think the first year will help him pay for a patio from Texas Custom Patios. You don't have to make generational wealth to have you don't have to have that working for you to get a patio from Texas Custom Patios. In fact, they work with you as much as possible. They say now I will tell you this. They don't build a cheap product. It's not a cheap company who builds cheap products. They are out there, but that is a nightmare. I remember actually Stephen Schell wanted to hook me up with his floor guy, and I decided to go cheap, and I paid a severe price with my floor guy instead of going with a guy that he has. And everything that he does over Texas Custom Patios is top rate. He wants the work and the craftsmanship and the quality to be beyond your wildest expectations. So you are going to get more than you pay for. And with Texas Custom Patios, their design team, their build out, their budget, everything is fine tuned so that you get exactly what you're expecting. And really, even beyond that. And once they are finished, you are going to really love the experiences you have. Right now, we're in the middle of summer, but they can start the process for you and get you built out. And just like I did, you're going to end up having a patio ready for the football season. You'll be watching your football games out on your patio, cooking and grilling in your outdoor kitchen, whatever the case may be. They can build freestanding or build onto an existing structure. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Miami zone, Miami native, partnering up with Bring Back to You. We got something very special that we can do for these athletes, and that's help them get to the next level through local businesses or any business. We can sponsor these college athletes now that never in their lifetime have been able to receive these stipends and sponsorships. So now with Bring Back to You, we can sponsor these great athletes, win many championships, get the community together, go forward and do some amazing things. I'm looking forward to all the local businesses reaching out. Let's support these players. Let's help them get to the next level. God bless.
That's Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, fighter from the Miami area, MMA fighter, and he's with the American Top Team. And Masvidal, basically, Dale, if you want to tell the story here, this is pretty interesting that American Top Team, a well-known and long-time fight team in the area who has trained MMA fighters. Once again, American Top Team's been around for, I want to say about two decades, maybe even beyond that. They are kicking in for NIL, which is name, image, likeness, which we know just passed, where college football players can now benefit, or college athletes can benefit from their name, image, and likeness. But this one really caught my attention when you sent it, because this is a potential game changer from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah. The story is, as you mentioned, American Top Team, they are guaranteeing 90 football players $6,000 a year. So that means 85 scholarship players and 5 walk-ons. And Miami doesn't even really ever get up to 85 full scholarship, so that means multiple, like more than 5 walk-ons if they decide to give those out to those guys, could get them. So it breaks down to $500 a month, and what the kids would have to do is promote the brands on social media, make appearances. I kind of doubt that they'd have the kids just out and about in the community just making appearances. I think a lot of it will have to do with social media, and it's not something they have to sign up for, but if they do, they'll have some responsibilities, and they'll get $500 a month. So you put that out in the world, and you tell any recruit, not that Miami is not officially associated with it. Sure, they have to make sure it's all good under NIL, but they won't be the ones promoting it, because then it sounds like we're offering you inducements to come play for us. But with it being publicly announced, it's pretty much what it is. Hey, you come play here, there's a guaranteed $6,000 on the table for you. And it's part of a group that you said Bring Back to You. They want to get other local businesses involved.
Who is this group?
It's just a bunch of Miami guys, Miami fans, pretty much. Like even the guy.
Is Uncle Luke in it?
I have no. Nah, he actually doesn't like Miami. Yeah, particularly
he had
too
a falling
much.
Out, right?
They don't. He doesn't feel like he's treated well enough. So he doesn't. He's not. He wouldn't be in it. It would be like the guy who's a part of it is. He's called a Golden Cane, which is one of the, I guess, the highest booster groups you can be a part of. So he's the one. I think he's the owner of America Top Team, or at least one of the big names behind this particular thing for Miami. So they want to get local businesses involved, and it would mean that any player who signs there is going to have something on the table for him before he even plays it down.
Potentially. Chives mentions their deal is up to $6,000. It depends on how much brand advocacy they do. Fantastic news either way, he says. That's true. It doesn't mean you're going to get that much. Maybe how many followers you have, how many times you post.
Yeah, I don't know, because if they're offering it to all 90, including walk-ons, how 85 plus 5, the potentially 5 walk-ons, how much of a following would the walk-ons have?
So not much. So here's the deal. It's the influence. This is not unusual. An influencer gets a deal to do advertisement. That's not an unusual thing. Maybe for American Top Team it would be, because it's kind of a self-contained brand that's known inside the fighting world. But you say, but this is their way of saying, okay, we're just going to pay a lot of influencers all at once. So the number, the amount of money is not crazy that they're talking about, $500 a month potentially, up to $500 a month. That's not a crazy amount of money for the athletes. But at the same time, the amount that they're paying, that's substantial. And when you think about it, it's almost like being part of a class action lawsuit. They got $540,000 or whatever that they're going to put into this, but each individual player is going to see like $500 a month. So they're going to be thinking, oh, I thought I was going to get, can I get it all lump sum all at once? No, no, you can't. This is to keep you on the hook. You either keep doing this or you don't. We're not going to keep paying you if you don't. And they will have, but at least it gives the players an opportunity. Guys who are not going to get a sniff of NIL money any other way are at least going to get any action here. And that'll help somewhat, I think.
Yeah, and if their plan comes to fruition, it won't be simply this one company involved. It'll be multiple companies in the area who want to throw their support behind Miami and the Canes themselves, and it could lead to numbers far higher if you're getting brands at the level of America Top Team. So we'll see. Now it's only for the football team. We'll see if it gets big enough where you can start handing out, but if you give the kids in other sports the opportunity to earn those type of monthly payments, I don't know if it'll be strictly for the football team, or maybe the basketball team gets involved, the baseball team, which has been historically pretty good, gets involved as well. But if you're a Miami athlete and particularly a Miami coach, you don't even have to talk about the potential of NIL deals when you're recruiting. You can say to a recruit, you probably have to do it privately, because I don't think any Miami person, I don't think a person officially associated with Miami will announce to the world, will say, hey, if you come here, you'll get this. But if in those private conversations with recruits, you can say, look, all you got to do is do a couple social media posts a week and you get your $500K a month from signing here, and there's opportunities for more.
So if I tried to get an offensive line, for example, if I looked out for the good guys, the offensive linemen, and I tried to get them a $60,000 deal for 10 offensive linemen, the starters and the backups, maybe let's just do starters. You got 5 starters, and I'm going to do a $50,000 deal with them, so they get $10,000 a piece. My question would be, do I get 20% of that commission, Lance Zierlein? Am I going to be able to get my finder's fee?
Well,
I'll find some deals if I get to catch some of that bread. Can I just hold 20% of your money?
Are you officially hired as a marketing person for this?
What I want to know is, do I have to have a license, or can I just find you a deal and you give me and you cut me off my piece?
Well, that's something.
That's what I need.
You have to figure out with your potential offensive lineman. That's what you have to figure out. You have to discuss that with them. I can't answer that for you. Mm-hmm. So if you,
I could see that happening though, saying, you know what? Hey, listen, Jerry, we know you own this car dealership. We want you to slice off a $50,000 check for the offensive lineman, and you're gonna, and they'll tweet about your place and make appearances at your place, okay? And because I could see a place like Texas or Texas A&M saying, okay, you car dealer, you're $100,000 for the offensive line. You guys get wide receivers and cornerbacks because they're pains in the ass. Just handle both of them. Right, Cam? Am I wrong? Wide receiver, Cam hears me. Cam, am I wrong? Wide receivers and cornerbacks, they're the two biggest divas on the team, right? Am
right.
I wrong?
Right. No, you're right about that.
Yeah. You see?
Definitely.
Wide receivers are all like that, Dale. It's always a problem with wide receivers. But I could actually see a university very quietly, some people at a university saying, hey, let's just all get together as big-time boosters, and we'll take care of different segments of the player group once we get them in from a recruiting standpoint. It's all coming to fruition just as we thought. It's all going to be one big hustle from the teams that have money. That's what it's going to be. 9:57, we got our last hour coming up, and we want you guys in on it. We will we'll get back to a couple of the Astros, the matchups tonight against, as a matter of fact, over the next 3 days against the A's. It's a big one, 3.5-game lead. Can they extend it to 6.5 with another sweep? That and more when we come back. It's the last hour of the bench.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.